hello and good day, everyone. It's Kevin Finkel here, and this is another episode of Magic, the First Pioneers podcast. It's a podcast all about the Pioneer MTG format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I'm joined by my co-host, as well as a guest, and we've got some big news for you guys.
And of course, you know me, I'm the Tokyo Zombie, the guy who doesn't sleep, because I'm always up early to record the podcast. My name is Ryan. Yeah, I forgot to say my name.
And it's me.
And our guest.
Yep. It's Harry 13, back again for some more Pioneer insights into what should be a tasty podcast, given the recent events. Yeah.
Good week for Pioneer.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Or an interesting week for Pioneer. I'm going to jump right into it. You know, for me, it's a nice 6:30 in the evening, perfectly reasonable time, and we got people across the world here, so I'm a little bit spoiled on the time, so I'm going to be certainly excited. It's been a very interesting week. Beginning of this week, no announcement for it, but bang, bam, boom, we got bans. And some of these were bans we were really asking for, so we got hit on Inverter of Truth. Banned. That card is banned, completely gone. That pretty much kills the deck. I mean, we'll talk about it. We also, though, didn't stop there. They went and they took out Ballista out of the Heliod-Ballista combo. They went and they took out Underworld Breach out of the Lotus Breach deck. And they went and they killed Kethys out of the Kethys combo deck.
So we're going to talk first maybe about why these cards got banned, do you think? I mean, we can talk about what they said, like their reasons.
But yeah. So, you know, I think you and I both had a pretty negative reaction when we were calling for bans. You know, they had announced that there would be a change to the ban list, and all that happened was an unbanning of the Oath of Nyssa.
Mm-hmm.
So since then, you know, we were kind of saying, like, yeah, we want to see these decks go. We just don't think that we have the tools right now to fight against them with any kind of fair decks. You know, it's really warping the meta. And I guess they were listening to us and other players who were disappointed by that change. So they went hard. They went pretty deep on banning, specifically targeting combo decks. And so we can talk a little bit about what they said. So they were saying that the big reason is because of, you know, it's dominating the meta, not exactly that they're having high win rates against other decks.
Yeah, it sounds like, this is, I'm just going to quote it directly from their articles is, although we continue to see many different decks have success in Pioneer, no decks with a problematic win rate against the field. We do see that combo decks as a group make up a large portion of the competitive metagame, end quote. So basically, they didn't want the format to become a combo format, and there were a bunch of combo decks out there.
Yeah, and that's where I had said that they weren't looking deep enough. Like, sure, if you look at the surface level and say, like, hey, Inverter has a 51% win rate or something like that, you know, it's seeing 15-16% play, that doesn't sound bad, but it was seeing that win rate against decks that were built knowing that this is a combo heavy format and built specifically to beat that deck and still getting quite a good win rate. So despite that, all of those decks that just didn't exist in the format because they were being kept down by combo, you know, anything that's like a monocolored red deck that doesn't have any way to stop combo, or some kind of mid-range deck that just can't beat a combo deck, all of those just didn't even exist in the format. Otherwise, you know, Inverter would have an 80% win rate against them or something ridiculous.
So real quick, I want to talk to Martin or Harry 13 here as far as, like, when people are trying to approach these combo decks, trying to beat these combo decks, are there... How can I say? Is there one best way to handle all of these combo decks, or do you kind of have to devote a large portion of your sideboard to be able to beat all these combo decks?
Yeah, this was the main problem that we had in Pioneer. And actually, unbanning Oath of Nyssa kind of exacerbated this problem, because you were already having to fight the access of dealing with Inverter of Truths, and then you had to deal with Lotus Breach. You also had Mono White Devotion, which saw less play and was less obnoxious, but you had to deal with that as well. And then they unban Oath of Nyssa, and they bring Kethys into the fray, and it's like, there's just not enough sideboard slots, because, I mean, the best way to deal with Inverter was always disruption with a clock, i.e., you know, being able to counter or Thoughtseize. Like, Mono Black historically has had a good matchup because it's been able to disrupt them via hand attack and have a fast clock with, you know, a lot of their creatures. However, that doesn't necessarily work with when you're playing against Lotus Breach or, you know, Kethis. Like, you need to answer the graveyard, or you need to answer the, you know, with Lotus Breach, you need to answer its mana generating capabilities. So I understand where Wizards are coming from, because it just got to the point where there was too many axes to try and fight all these combo decks. You'd stretch your, you know, your resources, your sideboard resources so far that it just became, yeah, it just became too tough. And whether or not that's a bad thing, you know, like, some people tend to look at combo decks with such a negative view. I mean, it's just another strategy, really, right? And it's, you know, none of these decks had fantastic win percentages. It was just basically that the general notion was people don't enjoy combo decks unless people were playing. But I don't even think, I think the issue with Pioneer was that it was just stale. There was nothing new coming into the format. It's not necessarily like these combo decks were bad to have in the format. It was just like there was no new.
Nothing could compete against them.
Yeah, or people just didn't even try, I think, to compete with them. I think people just lost interest. They were just like, you know, it's that issue of the echo chamber of Twitter, where people are like, you'll get some people saying, oh, Inverter's so miserable, it's so good, it's amazing, and it's kind of like hyperbole or exaggerations on, because like from playing Inverter, I mean, I like to think I'm a reasonably capable Magic player sometimes, you know, but I didn't feel like my win rates were consistently insane. Like, sure, I spiked, I'd go through, you know, good days, bad days, or sometimes I would be on a heater, but I never felt like the deck was ridiculously good against everything. It just felt kind of like a Jund strategy. Like, all the matchups felt pretty close the end of it, and the matchups that you were strongly favored against, they just kind of stopped getting played. But we're talking about like ramp strategies, I guess, killing mid-range to an extent, but Sultai still existed. It wasn't like there was no mid-range formats, sorry, mid-range decks. You know, but if the general consensus is people don't like it's kind of like the Nexus of Fate thing. It's the Nexus of Fate thing, right?
Yeah, it's just it's
Yeah,
unfun, right?
it's just miserable to play against. And if people deem combo as a miserable kind of strategy, fair enough. I mean, you could say the same about like individual cards that are not necessarily game breaking, but Blood Moon, Choke, etc. in Modern. There's a lot of things in the game, or there's a lot of unfair cards, or like cards that people just don't enjoy playing against. I personally think Uro is a miserable card, and I hope that card sees a banning in pretty much all Eternal formats, just for the lack of interesting gameplay it brings to the table. However, I'll digress. And yeah, I just think it was there was too many combo decks that had different ways of comboing off, and it essentially stretched players' resources and their sideboard too thin to deal with all of them or to combat all of them.
Yeah, that was the point. That was the point I was going to come back to that I thought you made a really good point on, is that it did stretch them in very different directions too. You know, Lotus Breach was a deck where no matter what you do, you're kind of on a clock, almost Tron-like, where it's going to get all this mana and do something huge. Whereas Inverter was more of a control deck that also had the combo. And, you know, White sometimes played more like an aggro deck, but also had a combo. So it was a lot of combo decks, but you were still having to fight the way you normally would normal decks.
I mean, like Underworld Breach, Damping Sphere, so good against it, but it's not that great against the other ones. And, you know, maybe the other one, like, I don't know, Rest in Peace or Leyline of the Void is better, but, you know, then that card isn't really good against, you know, Walking Ballista decks, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
So you had that problem.
And Rest in Peace isn't even good against Inverter either, to an extent. It's basically all it basically is a pithing needle.
It'd be good against Kethis.
Yes, it's good against Kethis.
Kethis and
Yes,
Breach.
Tethys can deal with Rest in Peace better than Breach because you can play a kind of creature game with the deck, and it has cards like the issue is, right? All the individually these decks still have a good support cards that are fine on their own. Like Jace, Wielder of Mysteries, Roman Verter, like I was super impressed with how powerful that card was just being able to win a game on its own. It surprised me because when I first read the card, I thought, this card's whatever, like it's not fantastic. But once I started playing with Inverter properly, I realized a lot of the games, and I maybe did this more aggressively than other players, but I sided out the combo a lot. I sided out Inverters and Oracles a lot and still won post-board matchups comfortably, especially against decks that would bring in all these Cranial Extraction cards like Lost Legacy and stuff. I was just laughing because the temp, because they would do that on their turn three, and I'd go, okay, Jace, pick up. You've lost so much tempo trying to stop me from comboing off. And that was one of the main issues with the deck, is it could just sidestep all this, prison style hate cards and just win the game. It had such a good way of winning through just milling itself and just controlling the game through dig for time. Because one of the what yeah, because like one of the first mistakes people made with the deck was it's a combo deck, but it's a dig through time deck as much as a combo deck. And if you try and deal with one, i.e. Rest in Peace, to take out the dig through time element, you're just gonna win through the fast combo. And if you try and deal with the fast combo, they're just gonna abuse the dig through time control strategy of the deck. So it just Bertrand was so resilient to the hate, and it was I think that was the main like one of the main reasons it made the deck quite miserable to play against for players, and one of my favorite aspects of the deck.
I wanted to ask you guys a quick question. So, were any of these choices of banned cards a surprise to you? I mean, we talked about Inverter for the longest time. I don't think that was so much a surprise. But what about the other cards?
I think walk. Oops, sorry.
So obviously, I think yeah. I was going to say, I mean, you guys know that I've talked about Kethys quite a bit, even long before we got Oath of Nissa unbanned. It's been a pet deck of mine, something I was really passionate about. And that's definitely the surprising one. I don't think that anyone expected that it would get hit as well. It really didn't have the numbers as far as testing, it didn't have the numbers as far as how much it was played, win rate, really anything. So I think that's really surprising that they said, hey, this is the next best combo deck, let's take that out too, without further information, further testing on that.
What about you,
Yeah, I mean, I personally, from watching games of Kethys being played, I would have been very surprised if that did not become the best deck in Pioneer. It was arguably the best. Some players were saying before it got banned that it was the best deck in Pioneer with Inverter in the format. Basically, I initially thought it was a worse version of Breach, but I think I was proven wrong. The way it's just a lot more interactive and resilient than Breach, and it's
It's Breach with
yeah,
Teferi in it, yeah.
exactly. And I just think the deck was a very powerful strategy. Was it the best deck? I'm not sure. I'll probably say it was Inverter because I think it was one of the few decks that could really abuse Dig for Time. I think Dig for Time is the most powerful card or abusable card in the format.
I was going to ask, isn't Kethys like as interactable as Underworld Breach decks? I mean, isn't it more easy to disrupt than the Inverter of Truth decks?
Well, the problem there is, they're running main deck Teferi, they're running sometimes the Golgari, Vraska. Like, they have ways to get rid of the hate cards even in game one. So that's a slightly different thing. And I feel like they had a little bit more of a fair plan with creatures and planeswalkers. It's value cards. So you can't just play something like a Damping Sphere and completely shut off the deck. I do want to agree, though. I want to say, like, as someone who played the deck a lot, who saw other people playing the deck, I do think that it was extremely powerful. It probably would have been too good. you know, it still hurts to say that I lose it, but I think that with the rest of what else is going on, I'm willing to give it up for other good things. Where it's a little bit tough is that I don't like that they completely killed the deck rather than taking a part out of it that would have made it worse. So, like, you know, I hope that if Teferi ever gets banned, I feel like that deck without Teferi would not be the tier one deck. Like, it would not be great. So if they ban Teferi, I feel like they need to look at unbanning Kefis. Mm. And on that same thought, I was very surprised that they banned Walking Ballista, yeah, which sees play in other places, rather than banning the unfair part of it, which was really the Heliod.
Yeah. Because now, I was going to say, green-black scales is totally dead. There's no way you'd want to play that deck, really, without Walking Ballista as that kind of, you know, extra reach.
I agree. It was an interesting one. Like, Heliod will not see any play without Ballista. Like, Heliod is just not going to get played.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I didn't understand about it. Like, Heliod is now, I can see if people are playing mono white, if a mono white devotion deck is still playable, then yeah, I would probably play Heliod. But I think mono white is arguably unplayable now without Ballista, because it had so many average at best cards in the deck as it was. Like, it was just as well Inverter was around, because it would, you know, it played Gideon of the Trials, which, in my opinion, isn't a very powerful planeswalker, but it was
without that combo.
Yeah, it's just not a good planeswalker. Now the deck definitely doesn't have enough cards to see play, because it's missing four cards that were key pieces of the deck. And it makes cards like Arcanist still as well a lot worse. So yeah, they've essentially banned two cards by banning Ballista. Maybe they thought it would be too powerful in other devotion strategies like mono green. I'm not too sure. It's a difficult one. But
yeah, that's interesting about mono green, because I do think that deck got a lot worse not having access to Ballista, at least the current builds of it, the ones that are trying to pull with Karn from the sideboard. I almost feel like both Kessis and that deck, even though they both got Oath of Nyssa, are now in worse places than they were before Oath of Nyssa was unbanned, just because they got other cards banned from them.
My thoughts, though, are if Ballista wasn't banned, I think mono green might have been too strong, in my opinion. I think the deck has a strong shell as it is, and I think Ballista, you know, might have just pushed it a little bit over the top. However, it's one of these things that is okay talking about it just now, but we'll never know because Ballista's not in the format.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, we're going to talk about a lot of decks in the rest of this episode that, you know, didn't exist 3 weeks ago. So if I'm talking about, you know, something like, you know, like just like a green-red aggro, how good was Green's ramp against green-red aggro or Kethis' deck against green-red aggro? We don't know, and I'm sure Wizards of the Coast didn't know when they banned this. So it was a little bit preliminary that they made some big changes, but I do think that they needed a little bit more attention on the format. They needed some lifeblood. And that's kind of what I'm going to go towards for the second half of the episode is, you know, we've gotten, those are our initial reactions to the bans. Let's talk about what's going on from here, both in the format and in the meta. Just like, what's happening? Because I've been seeing a lot of excitement for Pioneer. I've been seeing a ton of people playing it, you know.
Real quick.
Before these bans. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Real quick, though. I mean, are any of these decks playable anymore? I wanted to talk about that real quick. What's the impact of these bannings? Like, you know, Martin was saying mono-white is not playable.
Completely cut out my fight. You know, completely cut out my thunder here as I was rolling us into, like, what's going on next.
Well, I thought we were going to talk about the decks, not so much. You know, we're talking about what's. So I thought you were talking about what decks are now playable as opposed to what's going to happen to Inverter, Kethis, Walking Ballista, White Devotion, and Underworld Breach. Are they all just totally dead now? 100% unplayable.
All right, we'll roll back time. We'll talk a little bit about that real quick. I think Kethis almost certainly, you know, there is a little bit of memeing you can do with the fact that you've still got the Teshar combos. Like, that deck almost had become more of a Teshar combo deck than a Kethis combo deck. But without Kethis, it just doesn't have the value I really don't think there's anything there. As far as Underworld Breach, well, the Lotus Breach deck, Lotus Field is still a legal card and still a very powerful card. You know, that deck existed before we had Underworld Breach, and I do think that there's that deck will certainly stick around in some aspect. I don't know if it'll be tier one. I don't know yet if it'll be tier two, if it'll be the best combo deck or not, and that's something we'll definitely have to see. Inverter, I don't think that we're going to be doing anything with, you know, winning with Thassa's Oracle in a blue-black control deck. I think that blue-black control on its own may be playable again. You know, even Martin was just talking about, you know, you can side out the combo and still have a pretty reasonable deck there. It's blue-black control with Jace in it. That might be doable. And I think I agree with his assessment on a somewhat mid-rangey, stompy white. It's not going to look like that at all. There may be white aggro decks, but it's not going to look like that. You know, sorry. As, you know, we've complained for so long about how white didn't have any good removal. Well, we just took away white's best removal spell in Walking Ballista. So I don't know what they do from here.
So agree, disagree, Martin? Anything you want to add?
Yeah, no, I agree with most of Kevin's points. However, I have a stronger suspicion that Lotus Field will be a lot better than people will think, and it is something I'm seriously considering for the Pioneer Showcase on Sunday. I've seen a lot of people get solid results, Nick, and I don't think it will get respected. It's one of these decks where if people aren't playing Dampened Spheres, etc., on their sideboard, they will get punished. And this deck is still very potent, very powerful, does not rely on the graveyard, which makes it. Yeah, it makes it more dangerous if people aren't prepared for it. So I'm gonna keep my eyes on it, and I might play some leagues with it tomorrow or today, technically, just to see how powerful it is. Mono white, in my opinion, doesn't exist. It's just there's it was struggling for cards even when it was at its peak. Now it's so far away from being playable, it's not. It is playable maybe, but it's not going to see any tournament results.
It'll be like tier two.
Or yes, and if mono white exists, it's not going to be in that same form. It's going to be a more low to the ground aggro deck, Benelish Marshall based perhaps, but I don't know how viable that is in Pioneer. And blue black control. I think. I mean, blue black cards are probably the strongest cards in the format, in terms of efficiency and, you know, how abusive they are. So I'd be surprised if a blue black deck, you know, a deck that can abuse four copies of Dig Through Time and, you know, make the most out of Thoughtseize and Fatal Push, I'd be surprised if there wasn't a strategy there. The issue is like,
So, I was gonna say, it sounds like everything is not, it's basically evolving into a different deck. We're losing all these combo decks, but we're getting a new control deck with blue black. We're getting a new, you know, maybe aggro deck with mono white, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, let me kind of jump in here with something that I wanted to talk about for this episode is I just want a yes or no answer from your guys' opinions. We banned four combo decks out. We banned them pretty hard. Is this a return to fair Magic, or is this still going to be unfair things in Pioneer?
I think it's in between. I think it's going to be okay. Shifting the needle towards more of a fair Pioneer competitive format, but it's still not, you know, that very well balanced competitive format. Maybe that people say that Modern has from time to time.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure because there is some cards I have worries I'm worried about. I mentioned earlier, I still think I would like to have seen Lotus Field get banned as opposed to Underworld Breach personally. I think Lotus Field is at the moment more abusable. I also don't like Winota as a Magic card. It's
Yeah, that card certainly. Yeah, so I think I'm on the agreeance that people are still going to be doing some really unfair things. You know, there's a lot of combo decks I want to talk about that are going to kind of fill that spot. And even I think the kind of fair decks do some very unfair things. Like, I don't think if you're playing a 2-for-1 deck and you go against 5-color Niv-Mizzet, they're going to draw 6 cards and play a 6/6. Or if you're playing against something like Fires, they're going to drop 2 Planeswalkers and get value every single turn. Those kind of decks, which already were popular and I think have gotten better, I don't think you can just be playing. You know, I've seen people trying. Like, I've seen Tireless Trackers cast this week. I've seen Siege Rhinos cast this week. I've seen an Elder Gargaroth cast this week, and I was so excited. I don't know if those are going to last. I don't think that we can truly just make this a, you know, mid-range fun time. I think that there is still going to be a lot of very unfair and maybe still very fun things you can do in Pioneer. And that is kind of where I was trying to lead towards with my whole rant about, like, everybody's playing the format, everybody's trying something new. You know, I'm watching people are streaming 24/7, it seems like, with Pioneer, and that's something I'm really excited about. So when I can't play, or if I'm working, I just jump on Twitch, and right now there's always a few people streaming Pioneer, whereas if I tried that a week or two ago, there was almost never anyone on Pioneer. And you know, leagues are firing. Leagues have very short timers because there's so many people in them. It seems like it's really, really picking up, and I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah, and
Go ahead, Martin.
no, it's some people with Magic, some people don't like how often things are getting banned. I see it as a positive thing in a way, especially now that we're almost entirely playing online at the moment. I think it's an opportunity to try out more, you know, routine bannings because in the day people want change. Magic formats, standard, especially Pioneer, Modern, they get stale really fast. Like, especially with the power creep in the game that's happened over the past couple of years, Wizards have two options. They either scale it back, like a power creep reset, or they choose to implement bannings on a regular basis.
I was also going to say the financial impact is much less now when everything's online as opposed to, you know, when everybody was just buying everything in paper.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised the secondary market's still relatively healthy. Like, I'm buying booster boxes just to support my local game store. So I'll buy like a box of the latest set. I've opened them. I'm tempted to just sit on them next time just to keep it sealed and not sell it and hopefully make a small profit in the future just so that they've, or at least break even, just so that I can, you know, keep the cash flow going in the store. I mean, they're doing well regardless, but I want to, you know, show my support, and some of the promos are pretty sweet as well. So yeah, I mean, I quite like the bannings, and I think, like humans in general, people like change. And I think my only concern is, like, will this cause Pioneer to lose its identity? You know, what makes Pioneer different to any other formats? There was distinctive decks in Pioneer, albeit they're all combo decks, but it felt quite distinctive. Whereas now, is it just going to be similar to standard, like standard plus, where it's just like grind fest and whoever slams their haymaker first wins style format, i.e. Winota?
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, Kevin, you were kind of alluding to this, right? You know, what decks are better now? What new brews are playable? You know, you want to talk about you know, all the possibilities of this new format?
Definitely. You know, and I warned you guys, I know that I'm rambling this episode. Like, I told Ryan, like, I'm gonna be excited. I might let you speak if I give you a second, but just jump in there anytime because I will talk and talk and talk about how excited I am about this format. Right now, I'm still on the kind of brainstorming form. I'm taking in everything. I'm testing a little bit of everything. I'm playing every single deck I see just to see, like, some idea of how it works. I don't think I'm even close to the point where I'd be like, this is one of the best decks, this is one of the worst decks, these are the decks that are gonna shape the format. I think we could definitely talk about the decks that already existed and what, like, how they get stronger. I think we can talk about the decks that will try and fill that hole for combo players. Those are kind of the two places I would see as obvious ways to go. But if you want to jump in with your opinions there.
So real quick, I thought the best way to kind of organize this topic would be just to go through all of the types of decks. You know, like, let's just talk about all mid-range first, or all control, or all aggro, and just kind of talk about all of those types of decks in one place instead of jumping around. Are you guys cool with that?
Ooh, I think we can do that. I don't think that'll take all night, but like I said, I'm happy to talk for as long as Martin stays up and as long as Ryan doesn't have to run out anyway.
Yeah,
that's fine with me.
Is that cool with you,
yeah,
Martin?
That's fine.
So control, you know, we kind of had one control deck in the format as far as like a true hard control in blue white.
So Martin, you were trying out blue white for a moment there, right?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Not very well to start off with. I only played one league and I think I went 2-3. I watched LSV's video, but my concern with blue-white, as it has always been in Pioneer, is we don't have efficient one-mana removal spells. And I think you need to be able to deal with decks like Winota or turn one Lana or an Elf, and the deck has a hard time. You have no ramp in the deck, and you're basically relying on countering those kind of threats, but it gets quite problematic when they land a Tithe Taker turn two or something earlier on. Like, they play Elf and then they choose to play, you know, Voice of Resurgence or Tithe Taker, and you know that you're going to have to take that two for one, but, you know, whilst also holding up solutions to Winota, and the deck can just play a fair creature strategy and beat you with that anyway. So yeah, I found it quite difficult. I think it might be just too early in the format to really work out what's going on, and it's hard to, you know, control decks tend to cement their place in the meta later on in the format when it's more established. It's just very hard to work out. So I will give it more, I will play some more leagues with blue-white control over the coming weeks. But at the moment, my first impressions were so-so. I don't know what to make of it just yet, but I really feel like I want more efficient removal than Azorius Charm.
How about the blue-black versions? You were talking about it a little bit, but have you gotten a chance to look at anyone playing them?
Basically, I looked at Doom Switch's list from just before rotation. He actually played a blue-black deck without any of the inverter combo in it, and he was playing Frantic Inventory, he was playing Bigfoot Times, he was playing Mystic Sanctuary. There was a lot of interest in,
yep, I think that's, yeah, what I've seen.
I wasn't sure on it because they were playing cards like Jace French Prodigy and two copies of Neutralize, which I felt was a little bit random. I also think if I'm building a blue-black control deck, I don't want lightning rods for dead removal spells. Like, one of the reasons to play control is to, you know, make their removal spells pretty redundant, and don't really think Jace is in a great position in the format. Personally, I could be wrong though. Yeah, so I want to try out. I think there's a lot of cards in it that I like. Dig for Time being one of them. It's probably still one of the better ways to abuse Dig for Time, and I think I want to play some number of Jace Wielders. I still think that card is a good planeswalker, and it gives you a unique win con, you know, by self mill, and control decks with more win cons is always welcomed,
and it threatens the ultimate. Yeah, I mean, 4-mana Planeswalker that gets you net 1 card advantage every turn, that's the same as Jace Mind Sculptor.
Yeah, I mean, Brainstorm's definitely more powerful than a cantrip, but, you know, the milling aspect of it, I feel, is great because it fuels your deck through time, and that's what I want to be doing. And you have Frantic Inventories, so you can, you know, they have importance in the graveyard. But yeah, I definitely want to try it out. My thought process from looking at the format was, do I want to play Winota? And my answer was no. I don't really like that kind of strategy. And the second thought was, well, Where do we want to go? And I feel like I want to play efficient removal spells like Fatal Push. I want to play what I think is one of the most powerful cards in Magic at the moment, which is Uro. But I don't want to play Sultai Delirium. So I was in a kind of awkward position. So I'm currently trying.
Wasn't I was gonna say, wasn't Bant's Approach a good control deck back in the day? Like Approach of the Second Sun with like Tamiyo, and you could throw Uro in there as well, and Teferi to protect from being countered.
So I have been I did experiments with Bant's control, and I think that that's probably where I'd want to go in terms of if I have these clunky removal spells, if I cannot play Fatal Push, then in my control deck I want to be playing cards like Uro and Growth Spiral to get to 4 mana faster, to be able to Supreme Verdict the board if I'm dealing with problematic threats. Also, the life gain from Uro is very relevant, and it's also a nice win con. The cons with that approach is that you can't really use Dig Through Time, and I think Dig Through Time is so powerful. However, you could argue, I think a lot of people overlook the fact that you don't need to cast Dig Through Time for 2 mana dealt 6. You can, if you're generating more mana than your opponent and ramping up, you can, tap 5 or 6 mana. And that's still viable. I mean, I wouldn't go 4 Uro, 4 Dig Through Time, but maybe try something like 3 Uro, 2 Dig Through Time. Something like that. That's definitely. I was also trying Sphinx's Revelation, but I think that card is a little bit too clunky because you basically have to.
Feels like a
Yeah,
bit of
you
a
have to
trap,
tap out
yeah.
every time you cast it, and Mystical Dispute is still played. But yeah, and Approach from the Second Sun, I really like. I think of it as a sideboard card at the moment because I think it's a great card against decks that try to outgrind you and you have a slam the door shut win con. For example, playing against 5-color Niv. I felt like without Approach when I played blue white versus 5-color Niv, without Approach the matchup was quite close. Sometimes it felt a little bit unfavored, but as soon as I added Approach to the deck, I felt favored. And the same goes for Sultai Delirium. Blue White Control is one of the more resilient decks to Thoughtseize and Emrakul. Thoughtseize mainly because you just have infinite cantrips in the deck. So Thoughtseize doesn't do anything when your hand is Azorius Charms and Ops, etc. And you have cards that take advantage of the graveyard, such as Dig Through Time, especially if you play Bant, you have Uro as well. So, yes, I think overall, I think Ants might be a better way to go just to keep up pace with the decks that are abusing, mana dorks and such.
Any other good control decks you guys think, or are those probably
I
the
mean, I
best
could
choices?
see us fitting the Niv-Mizzet decks and even the Fires decks into control. I think that both of those do play a controlling game. I don't know if we want to touch on them now or during combo, but they both existed prior to the bans in some aspect. Niv was getting up to there to be one of the top decks, probably top six, seven
Yeah,
decks.
I put Niv-Mizzet in mid-range though.
It's
Interesting.
tough.
Because
Yeah, and it's interesting because they go so far over the top. The amount of card advantage you get from Niv-Mizzet, it's really what killed mid-range in Pioneer, if you remember. When we had like they were like the chunky red, the like big red Glorybringer Chandra decks, as well as I think Mono Black was a little bit slower. It was playing more 4 to 5 drops. And when the Niv-Mizzet deck showed up, I feel like that was really what killed those off. So it's kind of a mid-range killer. Similarly, I think that the Sultai Uro decks, they kind of just go over the top. Probably the Bant Uro decks as well, if they've got Emrakul. That's just such a top end. If they've got an Emrakul, if they've got an Approach of the Second Sun, those are just such top ends that simply being a value deck doesn't really compete. I don't feel like something like Chandra is back as a card where it's just being a good two for one.
So, you say Niv-Mizzet is control.
It's kind of controlling, yeah. It's a Fatal Push deck. It's a pretty control deck. Maybe that's the control and Uro deck that that Martin's looking for. But one thing I want to look at, just kind of like a pinpoint while we're here, is something I was definitely thinking about in the format when I'm talking about like people are like, oh man, this is gonna come back. Oh man, we can try this new combo. When I think about blue white, when I think about Niv-Mizzet, when I think about fires. these are all decks that are running Teferi. They're decks that may be running Narset. And that really... You kind of have to think about the combo decks when you're like, oh, will this be good? Let's keep in mind, like, hey, bang, 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 Teferi is here. Bang, 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 there's going to be some Narset. So if we're looking at something like Phoenix, which I think a lot of people were excited to possibly see come back.
Narset nerfs.
If you're playing against a lot of Narset Teferi, I don't know if Phoenix is where you want to go. So I just want to kind of keep that in mind when we're, you know, maybe I'm going to play a spoiler on a lot of fun deck ideas. But if we're going to talk about, is this a deck? I might go like... Think about this. That's the one thing I've been seeing so far is that like there's going to be some Teferis, there's going to be some Narsets. Let's not write those off.
Yeah, true. So the other deck that I think you guys talked a little bit on, you touched on Sultai Delirium. You were talking about Emrakul earlier. Is this a mid-range deck? Is this a control deck? Where would you put that?
Yeah, it's another mid-range deck that goes over the top. Their over-the-top piece is Emrakul, as well as the Uro Recursion.
And is this a better deck now? Is this, you know, going back to Tier 1? Because it was Tier 1 at the beginning of the year, I think.
I think it's one of these decks that's always going to be there or thereabouts. It's just one of the decks that can utilize Uro the best. It has that top end of Emrakul. I think that's always going to be a viable strategy, especially with cards like Thoughtseize and Fatal Push. Whether or not it's never been the best strategy, it's always been like fourth or fifth in the format, but it has, it like Jund, it's kind of like the Jund of the format. Like it's always going to be there. It has game against most decks, but will it be the best deck? I doubt it. I just don't know if it has the capabilities to consistently beat field at large. I hope it does, because I quite like that strategy. Niv-Mizzet, yeah. I think it's just worse against Niv-Mizzet, and that might be the problem.
Yeah, that's a concern, is if decks like Niv are going too far over the top.
Yeah, and that's where we might go into ramp at that point. Like I'm seriously considering playing either blue green ramp or maybe splash red for cause electro turn. I think ramp just destroys like Niv-Mizzet, like these kind of strategies where you're having to deal with constant, I mean, what's a better magic card, Niv-Mizzet Reborn or Ugin the Spirit Dragon? Ugin's really powerful, or Ulamog the Ceaseless Hunger, you know, like that card just ruins five color decks. And Emrakul as well, so I don't know, maybe it's time for ramp to come back. If people are trying to abuse and go over the top, then why don't you just play the deck that is, you know, goes over the top of everything?
More than everything else. I'm kind of there with them. That's a deck I've been testing a lot, you know, a couple different versions of blue-green ramp, you know, kind of porting over some of what was so powerful in Standard.
Yeah.
I would love to run it, except I still don't want to spend $400 on Uros.
Yeah, that's a real problem, I think, for the MTG format in Paper Magic and online Magic, is that there's a lot of people that can't play Magic because Uro is not priced
for what's people to play it. Yeah, that's insane. I remember I sold my foil one to my friend. I said this before, but I sold it for like $50 at the time just because he's a friend and helps me out. Yeah, I know. Uro...
Now it's like, what, 300 probably?
No idea. I don't know if it's that much. But it'll be pushing double that. Like $100 maybe, but just don't know how long
the foil.
I don't know. The issue is, we'll get sidetracked, but the issue is like Wizards have made too many different variations. However, the issue with Uro is, I think it's going to get banned in most formats just for repetitive gameplay, and it's just better than pretty much anything you can do with that, the amount of mana you need to invest in it. You know, it's just so powerful.
There was one more thing I wanted to say. There's one more thing. So we were talking about kind of like mid-range decks, Sultai Delirium and Five Color Mizzet, and I think one of you guys touched on this a little bit earlier about Chonky Red. Yeah, I guess you were talking about, you know, Niv-Mizzet beating Chonky Red. Does that mean Chunky Red has no chance to make a return, you think, in this format?
Not necessarily. I think Chunky Red would probably be one of the better decks against Winota. It has access to Shore, efficient removal, and it has a card like Goblin Chain Whirler, which I imagine is pretty good against that strategy when they're running a bunch of, you know, X1s and stuff like that. I like Chunky Red as a deck, but yeah, I agree. I think people are trying to go over the top too quickly in the meta, and I just think you're bound to get struck down by five color Niv-Mizzet. I think Red suffered heavily upon the release of Theros Reborn because Theros Beyond Death because of Uro's printing. Uro itself is the mid range killer, in my opinion. Like, it's very hard to compete. One deck I did play, I think I went 3-2 in a league with it, but I noticed I was able to outgrind a lot of decks, was Yorion Blink. So it was basically an Esper deck that had cards like Atriss, Basilica Bellhaunt, two Thassa, the new Thassa from Theros Beyond Death, and Reflector Mages. I think Reflector Mages is a card that I rate it highly now. I think it's going to be very impactful and powerful in a format full of creatures.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, and it ran one Uro in the companion zone, but three Orions in the deck itself. Yeah, so oh, wow. It's very powerful. I think Yorion is...
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I think Yorion is one of the few cards that can outgrind some of the more potent threats, i.e. Uro and potentially Niv-Mizzet. I also ran Agent of Treachery in the sideboard, and I would seriously consider running two copies main deck. I think that's another mid-range color.
Yeah, as long as we're talking about that, you know, we kind of skipped over Fires a little bit, and that's actually one that I do think is going to be worryingly strong again for some decks. Yeah, that deck can just be so obnoxious. Is when you get two Agent of Treachery triggers on turn 5 or something like that. So there's just no coming back from that, especially if you swept the board the turn before.
I mean, Fires was really good because of the Yorion being able to cast from the sideboard before. Now that you've had the nerf, it should be a little bit slower. I think it'll be easier to deal with.
Well, that deck specifically is the one I think least impacted by that, because if you've got Fires in play, you have no problem at all paying 3 to get your Yorion into hand, because you're not spending mana to cast him.
So, I mean, if you want to talk more about Fires, that's fine, but I wanted to talk about combo. What do you guys think?
All right, I'm happy to dive into combo. Do you want to talk any more about midrange? Because we were kind of touching on that, just like, you know, Abzan midrange? Do you think that, you know, playing Tireless Trackers and Fleece Mane Lions, do you think that's going to be a deck, or?
Too fair.
I got destroyed by that deck when I played Blue White Control, because both times my opponent carved Scrap Heap Scrounger into Loxodon Smiter, and I was just staring at my Absorb, wondering what I was doing with my life. And both games my deck just, you know, it just folded. I couldn't find one of my four Supreme Verdicts like either game, and it was just like bad beats where I was like, this deck should be very favorable for me, and I just cannot. Bad beats, you know. But why are you playing a midrange deck without Uro? When you're in one of Uro's colors, like, what's better, Uro or Sea Drino? And it's not even close. Like, that's essentially what you're doing there. And no chance. I think if you're playing that kind of grindy strategy, like I played against Green Black, and I just thought the same. I was just thinking, why are you not splashing blue for Uro? Uro just gives you so much more capabilities and grind value than just playing black-green. Like, Uro is the best thing you can be doing on turn 3 or turn 4, most likely turn 5 as well. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you really can't go Uro plus Sea Drano in a deck, I don't think,
I
right
mean, if you
now.
want to play five color Niv-Mizzet, you can.
Yeah, maybe you can do it in Niv-Mizzet, but other than
Jund
that.
is not so bad because you have Kroxa, at least, is another way to kind of get value.
Yeah, but again,
But, yeah,
it's
again.
just more Uro,
Sorry.
isn't it? Like, it's just,
Yeah.
I know I sound so, like, headstrong with how powerful Uro is, but I've seen, one deck I have seen perform reasonably well is sticking into two color, red black Kroxa. I think that deck is pretty strong with Dreadhorde Arcanist and Young Pyromancer. I've been quite impressed.
Oh yeah, Pyromancer, I've been seeing that as a really cool deck. And that's what I'm hoping does take off, because that's pretty cool. So I've seen like Lurrus, Pyromancer, Kroxa.
Would that be considered like a tempo that deck then? Kind of like disruption?
Yeah, I don't call that tempo so much as maybe that's mid-range. You know, it's a very interactive deck.
But anyways, combo? Everyone's been
Sure,
asking
yeah,
about
let's
combo.
talk combos, 'cause yeah, and I think that's a good question to ask, and I think we could probably, you know, delve into these more, even do a whole episode on it, but maybe we can run through some of the ideas of people being like, hey, this is a combo that's sitting on the bench. Is it ready to step up to bat? And maybe shoot me down quick if it's a no, or if you think it's a yes, we can go into the reasons why. But Marvel, what do you guys think?
Marvel, maybe. We talked about it the other day, you know, like
We have,
they had like the was it Shark Typhoon? You know, it's another hit and a way to just kind of like get value. I think that has some potential. I don't know if it's going to be tier one though.
I think it just takes a little bit too much setup, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. It's awkward that it hasn't gotten new energy cards, but I do think that it's gotten other cards which are good in the deck, kind of subtly. You know, I think it can play Uro perfectly fine. I think that it can play, you know, it's happy to have those Triomes. Some of the Planeswalkers are good. Like, I don't mind Nissa in there. I like the Ultimatum, but maybe that's a bit too meme.
Noise.
I also don't think that you know, if you can go to Ugin, I think that Ugin's a pretty good topper against a lot of what's strong right now. You know, if it can take care of Niv-Mizzet, it can take care of Uro decks. So if that's your top end, that can beat a lot of the other mid-rangey top end decks.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely is a potential option. It just historically, it's just had like maybe one too many requirements to set up properly. So if it did well, if it was one of the strongest decks in the format, I wouldn't be entirely surprised, but I just feel like it's not quite there.
I think that's fair, and this is also a place where I want to point out that Teferi does stop Marvel itself from activating. I think that might be one of those decks that's like, hey, maybe this would be good, but Teferi's standing in the way a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You got one you want to jump to, Ryan?
Possibility Storm.
Yeah.
This was always a fun deck. I mean, like I said before, like months ago, I kind of brought this to everyone's attention from Japan, when I posted about it, and then like Gavin, you know, retweeted me, and Saffron Olive retweeted me, and stuff like that. So this was always a fun, cool deck. Hard to kind of interact with because Possibility Storm makes you exile until you hit your next one of the same type. So even if you have removal for it, you're kind of screwed. You know, if for everyone that forgets how Possibility Storm wins, I believe it's Enter the Infinite, draw your deck, you have like all your lands in your hand, and then you play a Borborygmos. But actually, wait, you can't cast Ballista
Yeah,
anymore.
it,
No!
so so couple, yeah, a couple things there. Usually they don't use Borborygmos anymore. Usually they'll just put a Thassa's Oracle into play, so you can put it back on top of the deck. You put one card back with Enter the Infinite, and then now they just run Stonecoil. Some of them were doing that before the ban, anyways.
Okay, I guess that's fine then.
So th this is a pretty fair deck. You know, if people are bringing a lot of hate for red green aggro decks, which might be reasonable. You know, we're gonna get to aggro soon, and I think we've already mentioned Winota a couple times. There might be a bit of hate there. I do also have to mention that if you play Possibility Storm and they have Teferi into play, you can't cast spells. So that's not great.
Yeah, and I think that's
That's
probably one
horrible.
of the best ways to win with Possibility Storm is by having Teferi Time Rattler on the battlefield. more so than the other way. So I think there was like a Fae of Wishes based fires deck. I think it was Jeskai, and basically you'd use Fae of Wishes to wish for Possibility Stone at the sideboard when you had Faerie on the battlefield, cast it, you couldn't do anything. They're essentially locked in the game unless you have a card called Uro, Titan of Nature's Wrath, where you can still escape your card. Apart from that, it's yes, I think I like the idea of a kind of wish package being Fae of Wishes and Possibility Stone and Faerie Unraveler.
Yeah, I liked that Fires version when it still had Nexus of Fate, but I feel like losing that hurt.
Yes, no, I would definitely agree with that. I've got another deck for you guys, and I
Okay.
played against it 2 days ago, and it was pretty tasty. It basically involved Song. Is it Song of Frailes? What's the Temur enchantment?
Song of
Song of
Creation,
Creation.
the tamer one, right?
Yes,
The
and it
red green, yeah.
basically involved the Simic legendary 2-drop, where non it's like mana from sources other than lands.
Oh, Kinnan, Bonder,
Yes.
Prodigy.
So it based.
I'm on my game today. Some episodes I'm off and I can't remember any
Huh.
cards, but
Well,
I got
my
it
brain
today.
is fried. I cannot remember anything. So basically, what it did was it performed like a Cheerios deck, where you'd and it used cards like Unsubstantiate to like return its Cheerios to its hand, and eventually it would just cast Thassa's Oracle and win. It was quite interesting. Whether or not it's good, it was one of those games where I felt like I was a bit unfortunate with my draws. But the deck seemed, seemed interesting, and I hadn't played against it before. And it was a combo because it just went off and won the game that way. But yeah, an interesting strategy.
I've lost
Yeah,
to.
that's a little bit of a port from Standard 2, I think.
Well, historic actually for me. I've seen it a lot in
Or
historic.
historic, okay.
Because it played a lot of the Dominaria cards, or Dominaria cards, like the what was it?
Mox.
The whenever you play a historic spell, you mill two like as a way to speed it up, but it
Yeah. Diligent Excavator, yeah.
yeah, but and then just play like all zero cast, artifacts to or artifacts or the other zero mana thing. So you just keep on drawing two, drawing two, drawing two, and then. What else did it have? It had like that Merfolk, that Emery,
Merfolk Secretkeeper.
yeah,
Oh, Emery,
Emery
yeah.
as well,
Lurker the Loke.
to get stuff back. So yeah, interesting deck. I think that's easy to hit out with Damping Sphere though. What do you think?
Yeah, and Narset, I'm sure, is also not very fun to play
Yeah,
against with that
so
deck.
not so. It's an alright deck and keep it can catch people off guard.
So, will people be playing Damping Sphere? We've brought up blue green, the blue green Lotus Field decks, and I think that if we're talking about combo, definitely need to mention those.
Yeah.
Oops, sorry.
One more combo deck. And do you guys have any other combo
Oh,
decks?
see, so yeah, I want to. Yeah, so it's kind of my turn there. Is if I'm going to do that kind of strategy, where I think I would look at is Ascendancy
Yes.
was a deck early on in the format and can still be pretty powerful. You play Ascendancy, you play
Sylvan Awakening.
Sylvan Awakening, and that's a 2-card combo that wins you the game, and the rest of your deck is cantrips to find that combo. So.
Yeah.
And I guess you could protect it with Teferi. Right.
You could. I don't think it usually plays it. It's also not great against Teferi, and it definitely is not great against Narset. So both of those cards are a problem there as well. Like I said, I'd be mentioning those a lot.
I'd be worried about the black green matchup, having to face cards to get like Abrupt Decay. That'd be the card I'd be
Yeah,
scared,
yeah.
most scared of. And like you said, also Narset. You can't draw then.
Yeah, like.
But yeah, I really hope this does well just because I bought like 50 Jeskai Ascendancy for about 50 cents each.
Oh my goodness.
That's insane.
So
No, but we're noticing a similar theme here, right? Where all the combo decks that are still left, they're all quite fragile and sensitive to hate. And as I discussed earlier with Inverter, one of the main issues with the deck, kind of similar to Splinter Twin, I think, where it could just play a fair game, a fair control game so efficiently well that even if you brought in hate, you've essentially just made your deck worse to its other win cons. And I think like that was applicable to Kethis. Lotus Breach just had a lot of efficient ways of answering the hate very well, because a lot of the hate were almost always permanents, and it could easily answer it with Glass Owned and Blink of an Eyes. So, though, I mean, the combo decks that got banned were essentially very resilient to any combo hate cards. And I think that was the issue Pioneer had, was the answers to the combos were just not good enough to deal with both the combo and the fair game at the same time. So now the combo decks we have left are all predominantly decks that can do well if your opponent is unprepared for, however, with the right sideboard technology or just the right approach towards the matchup, you can normally take care of these decks fairly, so that they're not, you know, they're not warping the format as such.
Okay. I got more. Like I said, you guys are welcome to shoot these down pretty quick if you got a quick comment. Remember Grey
Yep.
Ruta?
Yes, I was gonna ask about that.
I mean, we talked about how when that deck it got the companion change, we said, yeah, it got worse. It's probably not worth playing anymore. Is it worth playing now?
If you play it in the main, and maybe not as a companion, but just play like all your clone effects. You know, you get your clone, Spark Clone or whatever it's called, and then you have Garuda, and then you have, I believe Clone actually is also in there, right, from M14.
Yeah, literal clone can be in there as well.
Yeah, I think it's still a possibility. I mean, you just gotta watch out for that graveyard hate, but.
I mean, if you're playing it fully in the main deck, you could run Uro, but I do think you're better off still with three and then one in the sideboard.
Yeah, I think you're always correct to play one as your companion. I mean, you know, you're slowed down a turn, but you might be able to carve into it by like adding it into your hand. I think it's a great, I think it's a great idea to try out Garuda. Now you've got my brewing juices flowing, so to speak, because the deck is pretty much take it straight off the shelf from where it was put and try it in the current format.
Yeah, you still can turn four. You can play a dork on two. Turn three, you can Wolf Willow Haven and then have three mana to grab your Garuda and then still have six mana on turn four.
Yeah, exactly. So I
It's only convert. Sorry, if you use him as a companion, you can only have even mana cost, right? So you can't really play mana dork on turn one, right?
No, you play the two mana ones, which you probably want to play anyways because they're not interactable with.
Okay.
Here, I've got a list I'll ship you.
Like Caryatid or
Caryat.
Caryatid
Dryad.
and, yeah.
Paradise Druid.
Well, Sylvan Caryatid and the, what is it, Paradise
Yeah,
Druid,
or
and
Druid.
then Wolf
Yeah.
Willow Haven.
Any other combo decks?
Oh, you know I'm not done. Solemnity Nine Lives, I think I saw someone testing
What?
with. Vanifar, I think, is on my back burner somewhere. I saw someone earlier playing a Jund Taking Turns deck with Ugin's Nexus
What?
and Karn.
Nice.
People are trying some things. I
Yeah.
think there's some stuff out there. Th those are kind of on my maybe we'll talk more about other combo deck options later.
Yeah.
Those probably are a little more fragile than what we've got
Yeah,
already.
those sound pretty janky.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited that people are testing it. I'm excited people are trying out new things. And I'm very excited to see the big events from this coming weekend.
If you guys don't mind moving into aggro, I'm kind of interested to see what fast decks we can play again. Is black the only playable one? Or are there other, aggro decks that are now a little bit more viable?
I'm very interested to see what you've seen personally, Harry, because I think that it's one of the biggest questions for me is where aggro goes from here. Winota, I think if we're counting that as aggro, is still in a good place. I think that one reason to have played it previously was its good inverter matchup, so maybe that takes it down a notch. But I do think that if other people are trying slow, grindy things, it has a lot of resilience. It has some just absolutely overpowered turns. Still a really powerful deck. Mono Black, on the other hand, for me, I've just been beating up on that deck with everything I try against it. It seems like, you know, it was good, and we were saying it was the best aggro deck because it was disruptive, and against things like Uro decks, I don't think being disruptive and making them discard a card is quite as good.
That's a big question I was going to ask you guys, is Uro holding back all of these aggro decks? Are aggro decks just not going to be good in Pioneer until Uro is gone?
I'm not too sure about that. I think Lotus Burn has been doing okay. And I think Winota, I would say, is an aggro deck, to be honest. And I think that's performing extremely well. Mono Black is on the downswing because of the rise of Niv-Mizzet and more Uro-based strategies. I definitely think there's a place for aggro. Blue, Red, and Soul Artifact as well. It's always going to be out there, and it's very potent. And yeah, I think aggro still has a place, for sure.
Yeah, and Soul has looked good. And the other one I think that might be coming back a little bit is Dredge.
Yes, in a big way. I think Dredge suffered from the combo strategies, just being able to be a turn too fast for them to kill. And now that they're out of the picture, I think Dredge has a good place. Also, it suffered from, you know, the graveyard hate that people brought in to deal with the combo strategies. And now...
Yeah, a lot of graveyard hate, and also, you know, they really don't have slots to dedicate to something like an anti-combo card.
Exactly. So, yes, I think Dredge is going to come back in a big way. I would be very surprised if it didn't.
What do you guys think about, like, Burn or, like, Mono Red? Like, not like, the Lurrus Burn is kind of more, like, creature-based, I would say. It's kind of like a mixture of, I would just say it's just Mono Red aggro. It's more creature-based than spell-based. Mm-hmm. Is there a spell-based burn deck in Pioneer?
No.
Yeah, I think it's iffy, and I think that I'm interested to see. You know, I've seen people playing around with blue-red burn. I've seen people playing around with Phoenix, if you count that as the same kind of aggro. Mm-hmm. Mono-red maybe, but I haven't seen it turn out as anything that I'm like, oh yeah, that's convincingly good. And there I definitely see the Uro as a wall there to any kind of opening up of the format in that way.
Yeah, because you don't want them to go anywhere but down in life totals.
I think for Burn to be viable, they need to free Lightning Bolt and put Lightning Bolt in Pioneer. Mm. I just don't think it's good enough.
I think there's still a lot of design space in between the power level of Shock and Bolt that they could go to. I don't know exactly what that is yet, but I think that we can get something weaker than Bolt that would still help Red a lot. I'm also just, you know, we need some way to be able to kill Uro. Maybe it's about going wider. Maybe that's what they need to do.
What would you think? It's interesting you brought up a power level between Shock and Lightning Bolt. What would you think about a card that was Shock the first time you cast it, and kind of like Frantic Inventory, the second one you cast would deal 3 damage if you had one in your graveyard?
We have Galvanic Blast or something, right, from Shadows of Innistrad?
Yeah, that's creature only. Oh. There was an old one with...
Kindle?
Oh, what is the...
Was it Kindle from Tempest? Equal to the number you have in your deck or in your...
That's probably it, yes.
Not the Amazon Kindle, but the...
Yeah, my Google did not...
Yeah, I'm going to check that out, Kindle.
Here we go, if that's what you're thinking about. Up. 2 plus a number of cards, but is that a 2 mana? Yeah, that's 2 mana. Now, that at 1 would probably be too powerful, but...
What I meant was, so if you had 0 in your graveyard, it would deal 2. But if you had 1 or more, it would deal 3.
I wouldn't mind that. That would be very interesting. I think it'd be a good take on it, rather than having it to be you need to have 4 of them to get to that number.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I would like that a lot.
Yeah, I think I quite like the idea of something more, you know, closer to Lightning Bolt than Shock in the formats. I think it would, it would make a pure burn strategy viable. At the moment, I think, apart from unfair methods, unfair decks like Winota, I think aggro is getting stomped on at the moment because of cards like Uro and Niv-Mizzet Reborn. So
I mean, they have some options already. There's like a one mana spell that does 3 damage, but you have to sacrifice a creature in order to play, and yeah. That's just, it's so restrictive.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
if you're playing a burn deck, you don't want to have to play all these extra creatures just to be able to cast that realistically.
Well, the issue is that burn is typically a deck that is essentially full of answers or threat-based answers, and Wizards recently have just been making the threats more and more powerful without making the answers as powerful as the threats. So naturally, decks like Burn are just going to get worse over time as more and more powerful cards are being brought out. So unless they...
Yeah,
and not just the creatures, but the Planeswalkers too. When you've got a 6 loyalty Planeswalker, as a red deck, there's just really no way to interact with that, whereas black can just kill it, maybe white can remove it.
Blue can bounce it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Green can just use their creatures and stomp it. Yeah. I can't think of any other good aggro decks.
How about humans? I don't know if anyone's looked at that much, but it's something I was hoping to see would come back, but it's one that I was definitely like, you know, maybe Coco Humans is going to be the same. Too fair, too weak to fairy, too uninteractive against combo decks. What do you think?
Are you talking about Coco decks, or are you talking about...
I'm aggro, thinking more, like multi-color humans. I did see actually someone playing a very similar list to what I was talking about. I think they 5-0'd where, you know, we've got the Joel Ryle, who when you draw your second card, you make a cat. Him alongside with, like, Rogue Refiner, Aether. Oh, God, what is the 2-mana that draws cards? And it's kind of a Bob of the format. You know,
Glint Sleeve Siphoner.
Maybe Tireless Tracker, if that's new to fair. Yeah.
You said the siphon one?
Glintsleeve Siphoner.
Yeah, Glintsleeve Siphoner. And, you know, they get to play the black-white Kudrow is decent against
Yeah, Earl. General Kudrow is good. Yeah, no, I like the idea of it. I'm actually currently in a Magic League with a Bant Company deck that I've just decided to try out for fun. But it's more just, like, value cards, okay. Like Reflector Mage, because I think it's quite good. And playing cards like... Two copies of Uro and playing 3 Teferi Time Raveler and other cards like Voice, Dustwatch Recruiter, playing 8 Mana Dorks, Tireless Trackers, Spell Quellers, etc. And the spice is I'm playing 4 Containment Priests in the sideboard for strategies like Winota, etc. Other collected company decks, I guess. So,
yeah, I would put Coco decks at tempo, just because I would always want to be playing Reflector Mage.
Yeah, I really like and Brazen Borrowers as well. Just when you don't have it, be able to have that tempo.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm a big fan of Spell Queller Reflector Mage packet at the moment. Anyway,
yeah. Spirits is tempo 2, I'm guessing, then, if we're talking about Coco decks being tempo.
Yeah, and that deck, you know, it seems like it hasn't changed a lot. If people are being slow, maybe it's good. You know, it did like to fight against the combo decks. Hasn't changed too much for me.
It's kind of like the Merfolk of Pioneer, I think. It always has the chance to be really good. I don't know if I would say it's tier 1, but it would definitely be like tier 2.
I think it's tier 1. I think it's the same. It holds. Yeah, I think it holds the same kind of feel that Sultai Delirium holds. Like, it's always going to be there, and it's always good enough. I think the strategy is definitely good. A similar vein between like Spirits and Soul Artifact, Sultai Delirium. Like, they're always going to be like definitely within the top 10 decks. Sometimes going into the top 5, maybe top 3, but they're always a horse in the race, so to speak. And I always think these strategies will always be perfectly fine to play. I think the deck has a lot of interaction with decks like Winota, which is important. I think the deck is definitely playable.
Would you guys put blue, red, wizards? Would that be in tempo or would that be in aggro?
I think that's going to stay in the deck box.
That deck is, it's just not quite there, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah.
Even after winning that Pioneer Grand Prix?
Yeah. It's not really seen the light of day since, to be honest. I think.
Yeah, everyone's
ready. Every dog has their day, and that was the day. But, yeah.
Same thing with black white auras, right?
I think black white auras has more of a place in the format, but I've never been overly impressed with that deck. One of the higher trophy earners in the Pioneer League has just been playing that all the time, and I think it's because it's a cheap deck to buy, but it just, I don't know, I've just not been overly impressed with it. But, you know, I could be wrong. It might be a great strategy at the moment.
Well, I think that's pretty much all the decks that I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more that I've been trying out. I don't want to go too deep on everything. I think we've covered a lot of the big archetypes and what's kind of going to happen. So, you know, it's from here to see like what the big decks are and what the answers to those, if they exist, are. And I'm really interested to see where this format goes because, you know, when Niv-Mizzet was really good before, we certainly found ways to hate it out. So I'm curious what similar ways to hate the big decks we can find in this coming format.
I can't wait for it to come out on Arena so I can play it all the time.
Yeah, I'm also...
Not the topic for this episode.
Yeah, I'm...
But guys, tell us what you're playing. You know, just tweet me if you're going to be streaming some Pioneer because I'm watching it constantly. Anything you guys want to do, I'm really interested to see what's happening. So you can reach me out at MTG Pioneer on Twitter. That's the best way to reach me. You can also find our Discord links through our site. You can find we've got a subreddit, some associated stuff. So a lot of ways to reach out to us. Any way you want to find us, you know, we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're on Podbean. But yeah,
and if you guys want to talk to me, you can find me on Twitter at yoschwenky, which is yoschwenky, and I also have a blog if you want to check it out from time to time, www.thejapanhobbyist.com. and Martin, anything you want to promote?
Again, nothing new. Just if you want to, you know, follow me and my content on Twitter, you can, at MartinPorter13. And I'll be tweeting Pioneer deck lists as and when I have them and giving you the updates on the format as a whole.
Okay, excellent. So that's going to bring us to the end of our show. Thank you so much for joining us again here. We like to have your opinions. We like to get, you know, someone really down there in the dirt playing the games, and I think that you give a good perspective on that, of what's really going to be a spiky deck for the coming format. And that's going to be about all for today. So guys, next time we will find a new topic. You know, we might be talking about results, something good, or tweet us out if you have any ideas. That's going to be the end of our show. We are the First Pioneers Podcast. We keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.